All during his life and the final days, there were women with Jesus every step of the way. Sometimes they were there after the men took off. They represented quite a cross-section of society. They served Jesus and his disciples by preparing food. They provided shelter for them and lodging and gave financial assistance when it was needed. After Jesus was arrested and after all the disciples had left for parts unknown, denying that they ever even knew Jesus, it was the women who were faithful. They stood at the cross, they anointed his body at the tomb, they proclaimed his resurrection, and even though, unlike the disciples, they had not been told that he would rise from the dead, they were there. So let us meet these amazing women this morning, these other 12 disciples. The first one isn't even named. Many of them aren't. She was simply the woman with the alabaster flask of ointment.
I am the woman with the alabaster flask of ointment, a woman of the streets. Mine is a hateful calling, and people rejected me from the beginning without virtue or honor. At a feast in the home of Simon the Pharisee, I first met Jesus. Although I had heard of him before this, preaching and teaching throughout Galilee, but when I stood before him, I was filled with guilt and shame and threw myself down at his feet. I wept uncontrollably. Opening my alabaster flask of ointment, I poured it over his feet and then washed them with my tears. Simon the Pharisee expressed irritation and disapproval because Jesus had allowed a woman of my disrepute to touch him. But instead of dismissing me, he rebuked Simon and complimented me for my gift of oil and for my tears of shame and remorse. Then he spoke those wonderful words to me, words of forgiveness, words that stirred me to faith and dedication. He said to go in peace, and indeed I did. Under the law, I had been condemned, but by the grace and the mercy of Jesus, I was forgiven and received new life.
We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man, though despite being a Gentile, he was commended by Jesus as being more of a good neighbor than those Jews who passed by this man in need. But there was also a Samaritan woman who met Jesus at the well and whom we meet now.
I am the Samaritan woman. Samaria was the shortest route between Jerusalem and Galilee. But the Jews would not take this route since it would put them through a land of unbelievers, a land of Gentiles. I met Jesus at Jacob's well, where he was resting while his disciples went into town for food. I was there to draw water, and when I approached the well, I was amazed when he asked me for a drink of water. I could see by his features and dress that he belonged to the nation who hated my people. There was something in his manner that touched my heart, and I asked him if he was greater than our ancestor Jacob. He answered by saying that anyone drinking water from this well would thirst again, but anyone drinking of the water he had to give would never thirst. I asked him for this water, but he told me to call my husband. When I told him that I had no husband, he astonished me by saying, I had five husbands. How did he know that? I shared with him my religious faith in the power of the coming Messiah, and he informed me that he was the Messiah. With this news burning in my heart, I raced back to the city to inform them about Jesus. I invited them to come with me to see him, and we listened to Jesus' teachings for 2 whole days. I did not travel with Jesus and his disciples, nor could I join the other woman who followed after them. But I believed in him and accepted him as the Messiah. And when I heard of his resurrection from the dead, I knew that my faith had been well founded.
Now there were two women, two sisters, actually, who we meet next. One is Martha and one is Mary. Let's meet them now.
I am Martha, and this is my sister Mary. Our home was in Bethany, but the house actually belonged to me because I was the eldest. I carried the responsibility for everything connected with the household affairs. Jesus came to visit our home often, and when he came to see us, I never had to apologize for a neglected household or untidy rooms. My home was spotless, and I took pride in keeping it so.
It's true, Martha was always cooking and cleaning, and everyone admired our home, but sometimes...
Sometimes my sister neglected her chores. Once, when Jesus was visiting, I became very upset because Mary did not help me with the entertaining and feeding of our guests. She did nothing but sit at Jesus' feet, drinking in his every word.
But Martha, his words were so wonderful. I loved to sit and listen as he unfolded spiritual truths. When Jesus came into our house, I felt it was more important to listen to him than to do household chores.
And it upset me, so much so that I complained to Jesus about it. He did not scold me as many people think he did. Rather, he gave me an affectionate reproof. He said he appreciated all the pains I took to make his visit a pleasant one, but that I should also take the time to listen to his message about my spiritual home.
And when our brother Lazarus was ill, we were so disappointed that Jesus did not come before he died. I could not leave my room because I was in such deep sorrow. When I witnessed Jesus raising my brother from the dead, I was overwhelmed.
It was then that both my sister and I realized that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. He is the hope of the world, and we bear witness to his power and glory.
We all remember Mary Magdalene weeping at the empty tomb. But who was she, and what part did she play in this amazing drama that changed the world? Let's hear her story.
I am Mary Magdalene. Magdala was a thriving populous place with the textile factories and dye works. I was a woman of means, but a woman who suffered from severe neurological disorder. It often left me with disheveled hair, glaring eyes, and sunken cheeks. The moment Jesus saw me, he commanded my nerve-racked mind to be healed. For his physical and spiritual healing, I was deeply grateful. I followed Jesus on his last sad journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. I was present when the religious leaders clamored for his blood. I listened as Pilate pronounced his sentence to death by crucifixion. I wept as he was spat upon and ill-treated by the crowd. I saw him nailed to the cross, and I was there when he died. Early the next morning, when I went to the tomb, I found it empty. And as I stood there weeping, a man approached me and asked me why I was weeping. I thought it was the gardener, so I told him my Lord had been taken away, and I did not know where they had taken him. He spoke my name, Mary, and instantly I knew it was Jesus. He told me not to touch him, but to go and tell the others. And as I ran to spread the glad news, my heart was bursting with joy. The Lord had risen.
Let us now meet Susanna. She was the wife of Herod's steward.
The scripture does not say much about me, except that I belong to a group of women who were among Jesus's closest female followers. I was one of those whom Jesus healed physically and spiritually, and out of gratitude, I followed him wherever he went. I was among that group of women at the tomb carrying spices to anoint him. We were amazed to find him gone and to receive the first glorious news of his resurrection. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene and then to the other women of which I was a part. Only after this did Jesus appear to the disciples. I thought how wonderful it was that to women came the first glorious news of his resurrection.
Jesus drew many women to him. Some asked for healing. Others just stood by and listened, sometimes from far away. They listened to his words of salvation. But one woman came not because she wanted to, but in order for the priests to test him.
I am the adulterous woman. One day, while Jesus was seated in the temple instructing the people, he was interrupted by a number of scribes and Pharisees bringing me to him. They had caught me in the very act of adultery. Jesus never excused my sin, yet he was gracious and tender in his dealing with me. The Pharisees quoted the law about an adulteress being stoned to death. If Jesus had agreed with them to stone me, his tenderness and kindness in dealing with the sinful and degraded would have been regarded as false. If he had told them to let me go, there would have been a revolt among those who defended the law of Moses on this point. Jesus engaged the Pharisees in a unique way. He was absolutely silent. Then he stooped down and wrote in the dust. He did not look at me nor at my accusers. He looked at the ground. I waited for his answer. My accusers waited for his answer. Finally, he stood up and turned to face the Pharisees. He invited the one who was without sin to cast the first stone. The Pharisees were stunned. I was overwhelmed. Then he stooped once more and continued to write on the ground. One by one, my accusers turned and walked away. When not one of them was left, Jesus looked up and asked me where my accusers were. I told them they had all left. And then he said such wonderful words to me. He said, "He did not condemn me either. Go and sin no more," was his commandment. My adulterous life passed away from me, and I became a new creature, thanks to the compassion and forgiveness of the man from Galilee, Jesus the Christ.
now a Gentile woman in the company of Jesus and his disciples.
I am a Syrophoenician woman. I lived on the coast of Sidon, and the Jews did not like my people. Jesus came to our region for rest and fellowship with his disciples, and when I heard the news, I went to him and asked him to heal my daughter. She suffered from an incurable disease. At first, he ignored me, but when I persisted and fell at his feet in supplication, Jesus recognized the plea I was making and my faith in his powers. He told me to go home, and not only would my daughter be healed, but she would come to meet me. It was just as Jesus said, and although, because I am a Gentile, I could not travel with him, I proclaimed his name and his miraculous healing to everyone in my country.
Now we meet the mother of the sons of thunder, the disciples James and John.
I am Salome, the wife of Zebedee, who was a prosperous fisherman. My husband and I both encouraged our sons James and John to follow Jesus. And they were two of his best loved disciples, and early in his ministry, I asked if they might have a special place in his kingdom. I wanted them to have seats of honor, but when Jesus asked me if they were prepared to drink from his cup of suffering and death, it made me pause. As a mother, I found it difficult to picture them dying as criminals. When Jesus hung on the cross that fateful Friday, my sons were nowhere to be found. I stood far off, watching in horror, and the next morning, still in shock, I went with other women to anoint his body. He was gone. The tomb was empty. The angel told us that he had risen, and we hastened to tell the others of this wonderful news. Jesus was alive, and our faith was restored. Hallelujah.
Another Mary who followed Jesus was the mother of James and Joseph.
I am Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, the wife of Cleopas and the mother of James and Joseph. I was among the many women who followed Jesus, and because I was a woman of considerable means, was able to contribute with material things which assisted in his ministry. I was sorry that only one of my sons became a disciple. He was called James the Less, or Little James, to distinguish him from a better known disciple with the same name. I stayed close to Jesus during his ministry from Galilee to Jerusalem and was present when he was taken to the cross. After his death, I was a spectator at his tomb on the morning of the resurrection. I will always remember with great joy the privilege of hearing Jesus preach and teach, and ultimately sharing the news of his resurrection from the dead.
And now Susanna, the wife of Chuza, speaks to us. She is a woman of some means.
I am Joanna, and along with Mary Magdalene and Susanna, I was healed of evil spirits and infirmities. It was Jesus who restored me to normal health. Some said it was a physical disability, while others claimed it was a mental one. All I know is that Jesus touched me and I was healed. After that, I traveled with Jesus and the disciples and gave of myself and my wealth in loving gratitude. When Jesus was arrested and condemned to die on the cross, I was among the women at the foot of the cross. I went with them to anoint his body, found an empty tomb. Confused and distraught, we didn't know what we should do. Then an angel appeared and announced the wonderful news of Jesus' resurrection. Immediately we ran to tell the disciples, who at first didn't believe us, but when they went themselves and saw the empty grave closed, they knew we had spoken the truth.
And now we meet the woman whom the Bible proclaimed as blessed among women, for she was the mother of Jesus. And this Mary, perhaps of all the women who loved him, the one whose story is most familiar.
I am Mary, the mother of Jesus. I was born in the little insignificant town of Nazareth. I was engaged to a carpenter named Joseph. During our engagement, the angel Gabriel told me the Holy Spirit would overshadow me and I would bear a son who would be called Jesus. The child I would bear would be God's son. I was afraid to tell Joseph. He had the power to publicly embarrass me by calling off the marriage and sending me away. But an angel appeared to him, telling him that the child in my womb was indeed the Son of God. And so we were married. And my son was born, a beautiful boy. But then I guess each mother thinks her child is beautiful. As he grew, we were so proud of him. I remember when he was just about 12, we took him with us to the temple in Jerusalem. On the way home, we couldn't find him, and I was frantic. So many terrible things could have happened to him. We rushed back to Jerusalem, and when we found him still in the temple, we were relieved but very angry. We scolded him, but he told us he was going about his father's business. Then, when he was 30, he began preaching and teaching and healing. My other children and my neighbors and everyone in our little village cautioned me that my son was in the company of men who were getting into trouble with the authorities. And so we tried to stop him. We tried to warn him, but he dismissed us. And finally, charges were brought against him that landed him in the religious courts. There he was condemned and handed over to the Roman authorities to be crucified. Can you imagine my sorrow, standing at the foot of the cross? Can you imagine my pain when they put nails in his hands and feet? Finally, he asked one of the disciples to take me home. But he was dead. My firstborn son was dead. And that night I called out to God in my grief, "Why? Why?" The answer came on the third day. He had risen. And now all the scriptures had been fulfilled. And now all the world would proclaim him. This truly was the Son of God.
These friends are the 12 women of the Bible. I'm glad you got to meet them this morning.